What if you could spend 30 minutes with the brightest mind of our age? Man, that would be cool. Well, lower your expectations, people. This is the Mediocrities Podcast.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast. I am your host, Mediocrities, back in Studio T, on my way to work. Hope you're doing okay today. I'm recording this a little bit earlier than I usually do. Just some things occurred to me over the weekend that I just wanted to go ahead and get down. You know, I mentioned before, this is almost like my journal, you know, weekly journal anyway. So things that I've been thinking about and kind of going over my head, and it's one way that I know I can keep them is to record them here on the show. So that's kind of what we're doing here. Anyway, I hope that you had a pretty good weekend. Studio T. So for me, you know, this weekend was pretty relaxing. I had a chance to go visit my family and particularly see my dad for Father's Day, and just to have a change of pace, you know, just different from what I normally see, and go home and, you know, a feeling for nostalgia, I guess. You long for the old days sometimes. You long for familiar things, and sometimes we do it unconsciously, sometimes we do it consciously. This was a conscious move for me. I wanted to go and see the scenery of home, the familiar sights, and to see my family. And there were also a couple other things I wanted to see. I wanted to go play miniature golf, which you'd have to know me a little better to understand why, but I don't mind telling you. When I was younger, I was a professional mini golfer. There's a brand of miniature golf, putt-putt golfing games, and putt-putt basically took the recreational activity of miniature golf and turned it into competition. So when you would go to a golfing games, the putt-putt courses there had aluminum rails. They had obstacles, but they were generally similar obstacles. So there were triangles, there were blocks, there were cylinders that, you know, raised cylinders. The courses had hills, dips, drops, things like that. I mean, what you didn't find on the holes themselves were, you know, giant clowns or windmills or things like that. But anyway, it was pretty standard. So, you know, you could more or less read the green, and if you played the course long enough, you knew where breaks were. So there was strategy to it. Obviously, just try to get it, have as few strokes as possible on the course. But anyway, because it was a nationwide brand, they had tournaments on their courses. And if you were living in the 1980s, or the late 70s, then you would have seen these tournaments on ESPN. And so I was part of that. I was part of that league. There were a few courses actually in our area that were part of that putt-putt brand. And so the league play that was there, and the tournament play was there. All that to say, when we came back, the one that was closest to me closed down a long time ago, but I knew that there was still one course that was open, but I had learned recently that it was no longer affiliated officially with the brand, but the course was still there and it was still being operated. So I said, well, let's take the kids. So we took the kids to Daddy's old course, is what I kept calling it. And to take them back to play some putt-putt. And of course, I've got nostalgia for it. I want to go back and I want to play the courses that I remember, the courses that I competed on back in my pro days, and to just have a good time. But it was definitely a call of nostalgia. And when we got there, first of all, I almost didn't find it. You know, all the things around it that were the familiar landmarks, that I thought I would be able to see it from the main drag, that, you know, you turn here and there's a shopping center, and none of that was the case. It was completely different. In fact, that place seemed so tucked away that it did not surprise me that business would dwindle unless they had a very strong marketing budget or a strong cult following to kind of keep people coming in there, because if you didn't know it was there, you probably would just miss it. And the course itself, you know, it was not in disrepair. The owners were keeping up with it very good. It wasn't the same. It didn't look the same. It was, you know, like me, it had aged. And the area around it had grown up, and, you know, everything was different. And but there was still that feeling of nostalgia. But, you know, the more that you were there, the more you realize that, hey, that was the past, buddy. So kind of that nostalgic, romantic feeling was something that I experienced this weekend. And also just, I don't know, I was reflecting on that, reflecting on why we yearn for the familiar and why we go back to the familiar. But also an experience that we'll probably break down a little later. Went to Mass with the fam, and a priest there had a couple of experiences with priests. The priest who was celebrating Mass was, I don't know what another word to say it, but salty. He was salty, and I'm not picking on the guy. This is just an illustration, but, you know, just salty in the way that he was carrying himself. And I've noticed also too, there are people that are salty, but they're salty in a way that they think they're being funny, but they're not being funny. They're really just being rude. So that's kind of, I wondered if maybe he thought he was being clever and funny, but it came across as him being in a bad mood. And that made me think some things, especially on Father's Day. That's that portion. I mean, think about this holiday, this weekend. This was a very busy weekend. We had, the two big ones, with Corpus Christi and with Father's Day, but also so many other things going on and in the news as well. But I was kind of focused on the behavior of the priest. So yeah, after the break, we've got to unpack these a little bit and talk about some things that I've been thinking about, just so I can kind of get them out there, out of my head, and then we can catch up on how things have been going with you. I want to talk about our communications opportunities. So hope you'll stick around. I will catch you right after the break. Okay, so here's kind of what I was thinking. Thinking about how that putt-putt course had lost its luster. And though there was new attention that had been given to the course, and new paint, some new maintenance. They had fixed up some things, spruced up some things. It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same as I remembered. The attractiveness that it once held for me wasn't there anymore. There were hints of it, but there wasn't. So, you know, why did I go back to it? The things that had separated me from it were space and time. It had been a long time since I'd been a pro player there, and it had there was definitely geographical distance between us, but also distance in the sense of I don't have time for that kind of stuff anymore. I don't have time to. I mean, I was practicing my game 2, 3, 4 times a week, and around tournament play, it was every day. So, you know, it was something that was just a fairly significant part of my life. But to go back, it just didn't hold that. It didn't hold that same attraction, you know. And I started thinking about that. And that longing for the familiar, and I think about whether or not sometimes that's conscious or subconscious. When you read in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul talks about being set free from slavery to sin and made alive. And made alive and made free in person of Jesus Christ. So why would we want to go back to our former way of lives? Because he keeps using that concept of being slaves to sin. But why do we go back to it? Why do we go back? Why is Romans chapter 7 there? The first part there of Romans chapter 7, Paul is lamenting the struggle that he has. The things that he wants to do are not the things that he's doing, but he finds himself doing the things he's not supposed to do. And he's bothered by this. And we have those of us who profess Christ, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ, we're trusting that he has set us free from not just the consequences of sin, but the power of sin over our lives that it once held, where we formerly were, as Paul says, slaves to sin. We just did it because we were just following our base urges, right? To putting ourselves before all and seeking whatever we sought, whether it was pleasure or fortune or whatever. Very self-focused. To the exclusion of others, and certainly to the exclusion of himself. But now, being set free from that, our focus is on other. First of all, focus on God as Lord of our lives, to follow him and to trust him to provide for us and recognize all the things he does for him, for us, but also to lay our lives down for other people. But then we have those moments, consciously or subconsciously, where there is a leaning toward, a drawing toward the things we used to do, whether it was bad habits, vices, whether it was familiar places, you know, we might call those even near occasions of sin. You know, if you struggle with alcoholism, it's probably not a good idea to go hang around bars, right? If you struggle with drug addiction, probably not a good idea to go to those areas of town where you used to score your drugs. It's things like that. If you're, you know, to hang out with friends that encourage you to do bad things, those are not the kinds of things that we should do, but sometimes we do have that longing toward them. We find ourselves in those places, in places that trigger memories, that maybe trigger old feelings. You know, I use the illustration of going back to that putt putt course because for me, there was a lot of attraction. You know, the putt putt was not a place of sin for me. I'm not drawing that connection. But the fact that I've been separated from that particular course by at least a couple of decades, and also just geographical space and time had passed and things had built up around that course that weren't there when I was there, and It felt different. And I think that also happens too when time and space come between us and our sinful past, our past before Jesus, our lives before Jesus, and even in our walk with Jesus, he brings conviction through the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction and setting us free from bad habits, even when we are redeemed and trying to walk in faith. And then sometimes we get back into an opportunity to sense that call, that attractiveness of sinful patterns. Am I making sense? Because it makes a lot of sense to me to think about this. And what I hope we begin to experience is that separating ourselves through time and space from our old habits, from our formal way of life, through incorrect thinking, through incorrect activities, through distancing ourselves from self-centeredness. And the only way that we can do those things is to put distance between us and sin, and put distance between us and selfishness, and then replace, fill that vacuum that was left by those things when we got rid of them, replace them with virtue, replace them with good and holy things, so that when we find ourselves back in those familiar areas, the areas that the nostalgia will be lessened, if not completely gone. We see the wear and the tear, we see the consequences, we see the negativity, we see how that was so harmful to us and to others. And we said, oh, why was that even attractive to me? Right? So I'm not saying that putt-putt was unattractive or horrible. Just the idea of nostalgia. I think you get it. I'm beating the dead horse here. So that's something I was thinking about, and how it's a good thing to put distance between ourselves and our sinful past, and even the mistakes of our past. Once God has forgiven us, being able to forgive ourselves and walk free of those things. And if that's something that you're struggling with, maybe, and maybe you have persons or circumstances in your life that continue to remind you of the mistakes of your past, and something you're still having to walk through. And yeah, I'd love to hear what's going on with you. Maybe we can talk about it offline somehow, or online, and maybe through Twitter or email. And I'm happy to do that. Just that's one thing I always want to be able to do, is to be available for folks to be able to get things off their chest, kind of like you're doing me a great favor by listening to me, all 10 of you, the people that are listening to the podcast. You're doing me a great service by listening and engaging and sending me your feedback and your encouragement. All these things, these are great helps for me. So yeah, that was the nostalgia piece I was thinking about, but also think about that salty priest. I'm particular on Father's Day. I was kind of torn because I had been of the opinion that on Father's Day, you tell priest, Happy Father's Day. So what I noticed this particular weekend, just checking Twitter and some other things, I noticed that there were a lot of priests that were saying, don't tell us Happy Father's Day. If you want to thank us for being spiritual fathers, do that on Holy Thursday when we talk about the institution of the priesthood. And okay, some of them were, I don't know, should I be bothered by the way that they said it? Can you not? Yeah, that's what I had to think about. Okay, my head's getting jumbled here. Let's break this down just a little bit. If I'm trying to wish somebody a happy whatever, do they have the right to tell me that I can't tell them happy whatever? So if I told a priest Happy Father's Day, does he have the right to turn around and maybe scowl at me or say, don't tell me that. Don't tell me Happy Father's Day. I guess, in a sense, she has the right to say anything he wants to say, right? So maybe the guys are justified in saying that. At the same time, I don't think anybody's trying to do something harmful by wishing a happy Father's Day to a priest. I think they're just trying to be kind. I don't think anyone's being condescending. Maybe there are condescending people, but that's certainly not what I would think the majority of people are doing. So I don't think that's really a reason to be salty, but at the same time, yeah, I guess I should just let people think what they want to think and feel how they want to feel. Can't tell somebody how to feel. Yeah, but on Twitter, I know it's just a lot of people just have some attitude, and not just about Father's Day. Just people are angry, people are upset, people are. I take all that to mean that people are hurting, people are struggling, people are having a hard time, and I think about the salty priest and Father Salty, we'll just call him. Father Salty was obviously having a rough go, and I prayed for Father Salty, and I still pray for Father Salty. That whatever he's dealing with, that you know, he's not, he knows that he's not alone. I mean, in addition to the greatest gift of having union with Christ and relationship with him, is that you're never going to be alone. And at the same time, your brother priests, your bishop, you know, there is that fraternity of vocation, those guys in the who have received the same call as you, I would think that that would be a source. And also, I mean, priests are human beings too. They have friends, they have social circles, they have, you know, friend groups and people groups. So I hope that in those things that he's able to find some comfort and some peace. And we forget about that. I think we forget sometimes how much work our priests do, our bishops do, and it's so easy for people to get on Twitter and get on their own particular soapbox, whether it's language used in mass or their concept of reverence, or which those are hot topics on Twitter currently, and probably have been for a while, or you know, homilies or whatever. But what we don't see usually are the things that the priests are doing throughout their entire week, right? We don't know about the 2 a.m. call from the family who just lost a loved one in the hospital. We don't know about preparations for an infant's funeral that father has had to do, and maybe it's the third one this month. We don't know about the meetings that people had scheduled time to come into Father's office only to berate him for some homily he said, and they didn't like the way that he said something. And all this stuff, it goes on all the time. And you know what? Wah, you might say, because I have a hard job too. And I have, yep. But all that to say that wouldn't you want someone to kind of cut you some slack when you're struggling? Yeah, we do all struggle with that. And priests are no different. Priests struggle. Priests are human beings. They struggle just like you and I struggle. And just because they have the sacrament of holy orders doesn't mean that they don't have problems. Doesn't mean that they don't have difficulties. All of us have difficulties in the vocations that we're called to. So I hope for Father Salty that he was able to get some encouragement and maybe just take a step back and breathe and be okay. I also hope that the people he was particularly salty to, that he had the courage and the humility to apologize. I think that's the hardest thing to do. It's so easy for us to say, oh, sorry, you know, I'm in a bad mood and, you know, I was justified, or we blame. Well, if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have snapped at you. Or those aren't apologies. Those are just, we're just blaming somebody. It's always the better play to own it and to say, I'm sorry. You know, if being defensive is our first move, we've already lost. It's not profitable. It's not profitable. St. Peter tells us that we need to be ready to defend the hope, give an account for the hope that is within us. And the term he uses there is the word we use for apologetics, for a defense of the faith. Yeah, defend and proclaim the hope that is in us. Absolutely. And play defense that way. But not defense in the sense of trying to justify poor behavior. We should never try to do that. Yeah, so pray for Father Salty. Pray and pray for every priest in your life. For that matter, just pray. Can we just pray for people? Can we just pray for people? When we see people that are hurting, and if we're not in a position to help them, and I need to say that, if we're not in a position to help them right away, pray for them. It's not nothing. You know, prayer works, and I don't understand how or why, except that this is part of the economy that God has created for us to be able to help our brothers and sisters out, to participate in His work in their lives through prayer. I think that's the pattern that we see. But also, if we are in a position to help somebody, let's do that. Let's do that too. It's not that we have to do one or the other. I think we should do both. I think we should help them out. I think we should try to find a way to reach out, or, hey, you know, maybe we see the need and we can meet it. You know, someone's cold, we give them a jacket, right? Someone's hungry, give them some food. Someone's thirsty, give them something to drink, and try to meet that physical need, but also the other needs that we have, needs for companionship, for friendship, for just to have somebody to listen. You know, I don't know how many times I say this on the podcast, but I feel like I need to say it a lot. The reason why I created this podcast was to connect to people. I was a minister in churches, Protestant churches, for a long time. And because of that, I still consider it a calling in my life. Because of that, I notice things and I see things. And I think God makes me aware of things through my experiences and through the spiritual gifts that He's given me. And just my eyes work different. And I notice things and I want to do something about it. And I thought that creating this podcast would give me an outlet, not to tell people, you know, for my know-it-allness, how to live their lives. I'm not the guy to do that. But to say that you're not alone. I'm mediocrities. I struggle with stuff. I have a hard time with life. I have a hard time with my circumstances. I have a hard time with my past. Just coming to grips with the fact that I was happy in doing ministry work, but the call of the Eucharist and the call to the church and the call of truth, I had to give it up. That's the only way. I couldn't become a pastor in the Catholic Church. So I had to give it up. But I miss it. So I created this podcast as a way to be able to use some of the gifts and some of the skills that I have, but really just to listen to people. To talk just like friends talk. And I hope that you're encouraged by the things that I say. Hope that, you know, when I'm struggling with something, maybe you yourself have struggled with that, and you can identify and we can have that a little bit of solidarity there. Or maybe it gives you a little perspective to help you with someone else in your life that may be going through similar things, or maybe topics that they're interested in, and you can share the show with them as a way of encouraging them. Because look, we're not alone. The enemy wants us to be separated. He wants us to fight. He wants us to not be close or in communion or talking to each other. He wants us to fight. He wants us to say rude things about each other, not to have a free exchange of ideas, but to belittle each other through labels and derogative comments and dank memes where we are just setting each other on fire. And the enemy just sits back and laughs. Because everybody in doing that thinks that they're doing God some big favor. God, did you see how I lit that guy up on Twitter? Yeah, that'll show him. Praise God. Really, bro? Is God pleased? that you roasted some guy on Twitter? Or is that just a means of appealing to your own ego? And trust me, I like burning people. When I think that I'm putting somebody in their place, that feels good to me. Until I sit back and think about how sinfully prideful that is. And to try to justify it by saying I'm doing the Lord's work, that I'm sharing the gospel with somebody. No, dude, you're being an asshole. And I'm being an asshole. I'll point the finger right back at myself. Right? That's not why I did not create this show to tell you all how good I am, and how holy I am, and how wonderful I am. And if you just do the things that I say and agree with me on these things, you'll be great and you'll be happy. And I'll accept you just like I accept myself. Because guess what? I don't accept myself. I struggle with stuff every day. And that's why I assume, and I think I'm right, that there are other people that are struggling just like me, that are having a rough go of it, trying to make sense of this world. And at the same time, trying to be faithful to our calling from God, to obey God, to trust God, to follow God. I still believe that there's more people like that, more people like me, than there are know-it-alls, than there are people that are attacking the faith. I just thought maybe the show would be a chance to put us together. And so I make the appeal, always do, because it's important to me. If there is no one in your life that listens, I want to listen. You can contact me through Twitter. My direct messages are unlocked. You don't have to. I think maybe Twitter makes you follow somebody and or before you can direct message them. But fine, whatever. Then follow me. But if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, at MediocritiesPod. M-E-D, I can't even spell it in my head. It's early, y'all. I'm sorry. Mediocrities. Look it up. Mediocrities Pod on Twitter. I'll put it in the show notes. How's that? I can type because auto-spell will pull it up. Mediocrities Pod on Twitter. And you could also email me, mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. I don't need anything from you. I don't. But I would like to hear from you. I don't solicit money. That's why, you know, I play one ad spot from Anchor, so that when you listen to the ad, it puts a couple of cents in the account. And that's fine, because if I need to pay for features or subscriptions to the podcast software, right now it's all free. So, but that's the only reason I've got to add up. I'm not making any money off of this. Trust me, look at my traffic. I'm not making any money off of this. I don't want to. I don't want a brand. I just want to reach out to people. So if you want to reach out to me and tell me what's going on, or say, hey, can you pray for me on this? I'll be happy to do that. And if you think that parts of this show are good or parts of the show are stupid, you know, I kind of changed the whole format these last few episodes just because I just wanted to make it a little more raw, more organic. But I love feedback. If there's something that maybe a topic, you say, hey, what about this? Throw it at me. I'm happy to engage and listen to what you have to say. And if you do like the show, I would appreciate it if you shared it. Because I don't pay for ads. I don't pay for marketing. I engage with some people on Twitter. And the only other way that people are going to find this show is if it gets rated and reviewed. So if you want to leave a rating or a review on iTunes, if you want to share, most of you are listening either on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That's where most of you are coming from. Every now and then I'll get something from Stitcher or something else. But most of the time you're coming through Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So I know Apple Podcasts, you can leave a rating and you can review, but on both of them, you can share. And so if you're liking this, share it with somebody. Post it on, you know, retweet me or however that works. I learned what subtweet was this weekend. I realized how ignorant I am on Twitter. It's probably why I don't have a lot of followers, but I'm It's not like I'm trying to build a crowd or anything. If you want to, those guys, those celebrities, you can listen to their podcast. They're fantastic. Guys like Matt Frad, Jimmy Akin. And I love listening to those guys' shows. That's not what I'm doing. I listen to those guys. I don't try to be those guys. So, yeah, listen to those guys, but listen to me too. If it's beneficial and if you like the show, then let somebody know. If you hate the show, before you go, let me know what's wrong with it, because that'll help make it better for the next person. Okay? And if I burn out, as I'm always going to be tempted to do, if I burn out, then so be it. But if I stick around, then your feedback's going to help make the show better. So I appreciate it. Anyway, early episode this week. I probably still will drop another episode later this week just because I normally do by Friday. So we'll see what happens. But hope that y'all had a good weekend, and hope that you have a good week this week. And know that Mediocrities is praying for you. I ask you to please pray for me as well. And we'll catch you soon. Bye.